All right, we thank the Lord for salvation. We're still saved today.
Yes,
living for the Lord and satisfied in our experience. We say that we're satisfied today, but we want to be closer to the Lord. It's not just that we get saved and, okay, we've made it, and that's as far as we have to go. But each day is a new day, and it's a new beginning, a new opportunity to get a little closer to the Lord, and that's what we should do. It's what our endeavor should be. We want you to turn with us to Psalms, the 37th chapter. And the Lord impressed me with this, inspired me with this particular passage of Scripture. And I'm just going to title this discourse as Psalms 37. So we're going to deal with quite a bit of the Scriptures here, probably the first 10 Scriptures anyway. And we'd like for us to take a strong look at it. Of the Psalms, this is one of my favorite Psalms that I like. Particularly when I'm in the midst of a trial or test, the Lord brings me back to those places. We all have those places and those places in the Scripture that the Lord gives us some comfort and gives us instruction. And when the Lord says something in the Word of God, it's not just a mere suggestion. It's a command that we're to do. It's not that He's going to stand over us and demand that we do this. And He's not an austere master that determines what we're going to do and then demands that we do it. We have the privilege to do it, and if we do it, it's in our best interest to do it. And so He doesn't give suggestion. Well, I suggest that you do this, and if you do this, it may turn out like that. We may say those kinds of things, and we people that are of wisdom and older people that we ask counsel of, they may suggest that we do a particular thing, but when God says it in His Word, it is not a mere suggestion. It is something that God says, I see the end of this thing, and if you do what I'm telling you to do, your end will be better than what you're dealing with right now. And sometimes we don't know where we are in the midst of the trial. The trial starts, and we don't know if we're halfway through it. We don't know if we're just beginning. We don't know if we're almost at the end. But let me tell you, it is our responsibility to make certain that we stand true to the Lord all the way through the trial, because I've been in many trials, and it seems like it was just all, I was almost at the breaking point, Lord, I can't take any more of it. And then the Lord, it was over. Once I submitted myself, once I did what the Lord told me to do, and I just stood true in it all, the trial was over. So we don't know. There are some times that we're going to be in trials, and the enemy is going to suggest that we give up, and it's not worth it, and throw in the towel, and it's going to be just right one more step, and we would have been done. Don't give up. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever the situation in your life is, God is still in control. If you'll let Him control your situation, He'll bring you out of this. All right, we're going to begin reading at the first verse of the 37th chapter of Psalms. Do you read it for us?
Fret not.
I want us to clearly understand the first point that the Lord brings to us is don't fret. Fret not. It is not a mere suggestion, as we brought out before. What the Lord wants us to clearly understand is that this is a command. We are not to be anxious about these things. He says, fret not. Well, Brother Darrell, you don't know my situation. No, I don't know your situation, but God knows your situation. And the thing that He says about your situation is don't fret about it. When we understand who God is and how great God is and how big He is and that He is in control of this universe, even though it seems, and He's even in control of the world and the happenings of the world, He's allowing things to happen, and He allows things to happen to you and I to give us a place that we can understand and we can trust Him more fully. Do you realize that some of the reasons that God allows the things to happen in your life, if everything was just perfect in your life, do you know many of us wouldn't trust the Lord like we need to? But when things spin out of control, what do? It is when we get closer to the Lord, or at least we try, Lord, I need You now, and the Lord is able to help us in those times, and we see our needs when these things happen. So the first thing that the Lord wants to tell us in this Scripture is it's not a suggestion. We're not to fret. Fret not. Don't fret. I want to read a definition of fret. It says here, to irritate or worry or annoy. Don't be irritated about your situation. Well, Brother Darrell, you don't understand. Maybe I don't understand, but God understands. He says to wear or eat away as by chafing or gnawing, corrode, to fray, to be angry or troubled or irritated, to chafe, to be worn or eaten away, to become rough or irritated. So what it's saying here, the situations and circumstances of our lives are enough for us to fret over, aren't they? All all of us could fret. Every one of us has something that we can complain about, we can be chanked over, that we can be irritated about, but the Scripture tells us, don't do it. And it is not a suggestion. Don't do it. All right? Now, particularly, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, what we can do sometimes is we can look at what's going on in other people's lives, and we're so concerned about the evildoers. Well, he's doing this to me, or she's doing this to me. Don't be concerned about that. Don't fret about that. And we're complaining, and our peace is disturbed because of what other people are doing, evildoers. And I would agree with you, yes, what they are doing is evil, but I can't stop them. Can you stop them? You're complaining, you're fretting. Is it going to stop the evildoers from doing evil? How many of us have been successful about fretting and complaining about what other people are doing, and that has stopped the people from doing it? Anybody? No? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So in other words, the Lord is letting us see here that it's going to be temporary.
Amen.
We don't know how long temporary is. Sometimes temporary can be a few weeks.
Yes.
Sometimes temporary can be a few years, months, years. But rest assured, when you're looking at the evildoers, and what we tend to do when we look at the evildoers and we begin to fret, that means that our eyes are on them. And there is something about us that wants to correct those people that are doing evil. And when we get so involved, this is the danger, and this is why the Scripture tells us don't fret about it, and don't fret because of the man that is bringing evil devices to pass, is because what tends to happen, I tend to be influenced to some degree about what somebody else is doing when I'm concentrating on them rather than setting them aside and giving them into the hands of the Lord. What happens is, if I am not careful, if you're not careful, what we will do, we will look at the evildoers, and when they don't stop doing the evil that they're doing, that causes us, something to rise up in us, and causes us to be tempted to do the evil to combat what they're doing. How many times have we done that? So in other words, instead of us going to prayer, and this being a call to prayer, and saying, Lord, I need some grace to be able to deal with these folks because they're getting on my nerves. Let's put it in our terms. They're getting on my nerves, and I don't like what they're doing, and Lord, I want them to stop. And when we go unto the Lord, and we pray it that way, and they don't stop, and we're praying that they stop, the prayer should be turned around and pray, Lord, then give me the grace. If they don't stop, then give me the grace not to complain about what they're doing. I need grace from you. Because if I don't pray that the Lord gives me grace to be able to bear up under what they're doing, I am going to be tempted to do evil, to say, listen, you ain't going to do that to me. And I'm going to stop you. I'm crossing the line. You do that one more time. And then what we do, we step outside of the bounds of what God is pleased with in our lives. In an effort to stop the evildoers. And so what has happened? What happens is we become evil just like them. We're no better than they are. So what God is telling us, what this Scripture is saying, what the Lord is trying to say to us today is, don't be that concerned about other people that are doing evil because it's only temporary.
Yes.
Our life is only temporary.
Amen.
God sees what they're doing. And let me say this also. You reap what you sow.
Yes.
Folks that are doing wrong are going to reap wrong.
Yes.
And so we cannot be in a place that we do wrong, so we be the ones that allow that causes them to reap it. We don't want to do that because we've got to reap it too. Alright? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust. Trust in the Lord.
And do good.
Alright, let's stop for a moment. I want to go to, before we get to trust, I want to deal with Philippians, the 4th chapter. Read that for us. 4th chapter, 6th verse. It goes along with this fretting. Yes.
Be careful for nothing.
Be careful for nothing.
But in everything.
In everything. So somebody is doing something to you that is causing you to feel a little bit irritated or a little bit chafed here, or it's eating away at you, or it's wearing away and your peace is corroding. What does the Scripture say? Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything.
Yes.
Now, I know that this is not a very easy thing for us to get a hold of, but it is something that I believe the Lord clearly wants us to understand. Be careful for nothing. Don't be, what am I going to do? And I'm twiddling my thumbs and I'm getting all anxious about a particular matter. What it says, in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. But Lord, I don't have anything to be thankful about. Oh, yes, you do. But what we tend to do, we tend to put our eyes on the things that are wrong and not the things that we can be thankful for. Lord, help us. We can be thankful. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were talking about how bad things were. And I said, you know what? It could be worse, couldn't it? And they thought for a moment and they said, yeah, it could. But what can you be thankful for? You can be thankful that it's no worse than it is. Because no matter what state your affairs are in, it could be much worse. There's somebody that's going through it much worse than you. May the Lord help us. So it says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. But with all and everything, with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it.
Yes.
He's concerned about you. All right? Trust in the Lord. Let's go back to 37.
Trust in the Lord and do good.
See, why did he tell us that? Because the effect that the person that is doing evil will have on you is there would be a strong temptation for you to do evil just like they're doing. But he said, trust in the Lord and do good. Again, this is not a mere suggestion, but it says to trust the Lord and do good while you trust in Him. Though the temptation is very strong for you not to,
yes,
do good. All right? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The Lord is going to take care of you.
Amen.
He's going to take care of whatever situations that you are confronted with. The Lord is going to take care of you. Trust not in yourself. Many of us trust in our own abilities. Many trust in their own wisdom and their own knowledge. And there are times in our experience that we can see what God is doing, and it really doesn't seem like that's the way that our lives should be. But he says, trust in the Lord. And so while we're praying, we say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to be able to trust you more fully in the things that I'm confronted with. What does it mean to trust? A confident reliance on the integrity, the veracity, or justice of another. Now, what does that mean? That means that when we look at what the evil person is doing, then we can trust in God's justice. We can trust in God's faithfulness. We can trust that God can see all that somebody is doing to hurt us. Maybe they're talking about you. Have you been in a situation where people just spew your name out and they talk about you and just say things that are untrue about you? Have you ever had that? I've had that. I've had people say things about me that were not true. And what do we do in that? Do we try to go and straighten it up? You know what I've learned? I've learned in very few times that the Lord wants you, there are times that the Lord wants you to straighten things up, but we need to listen to what the voice of the Lord is. There are many times folks are going to talk about you. Let them talk. The Lord is going to take, the Lord will be your defense. You don't have to go and straighten up everybody. Who else did you talk to? Who else did you talk to? You live the life that God wants you to live. You live it like God wants you to live it. And let me tell you, your life will answer the questions that those people have about you. If there's some concern that they may have, the things that you do, the things that God wants you to do, if you live the kind of a life you can trust in the Lord, you've got justice, Lord. You see what they're saying. You see how they're reviling. You see how they're despising you. You see how they don't like you in me. And so they're coming against you in me. Lord, you do something about it. And then we can just trust in the Lord. That means I don't have to go around and correct every misconception that somebody has of me. You don't have to go around and correct every misconception that somebody has of you. You know what I've learned about that? What I've learned is that there is a level of pride that I have that I don't want my name muddy. But let me tell you, there is a freedom. When God gives you the freedom that, Lord, I want you to be satisfied with the way that I live. Doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. There comes a freedom with that, doesn't it?
You're not so concerned about your reputation. Jesus Christ, it says, made himself of no reputation. But he took upon him the form of a servant. That's what we're to do. Lord, help us.
Amen.
So trust in the Lord. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right?
Delight thyself.
Hold on. Trust. I want us to turn to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Read the 5th through the 7th verse. Read it for us, please.
Proverbs 3, 5,
yes.
7.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all thy
soul. So again, we don't trust in ourselves. We trust in the Lord.
With all thine heart.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not a portion of it. Lord, I'm going to give you a chance to do this. And if it's not done by Friday, I'll handle it from there. Is that what we say? No, Lord, I'm going to trust you all the way. And you know what we have to ask the Lord? Lord, teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to not fret about situations, Lord. So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. So again, these are not suggestions. We're to seek the Lord. We're to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give me a greater level of understanding. Your understanding. Because the Scripture says there are going to be some things that God sees that we don't see. Alright? There are going to be some ways that God does things that we wouldn't have done it that way. Lean not to my own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If we would wait long enough and trust the Lord and be still enough, the Lord would give us direction in every course of our lives.
Amen.
And you know, we look back on some of the mistakes that we've made in the past, haven't we? We all have made mistakes. We all thought that this was the best thing for me to do, and we weighed out all of our options, and we weighed it out. We went down this road, and we found out that it wasn't the best road to go down. The road that would have been better was the one that we didn't think would be better, but we leaned to our own understanding. We didn't ask the Lord about this. Do you know, I believe the Lord is concerned about everything that concerns us. And so what this tells us is, don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to end. This appears to be the right way for me to go, but Lord, I'm not certain. Would you give me direction? And it may be that the Lord witnesses that, yes, this is the way that I want you to go. This is the way. Walk you in it. Or maybe, no, I don't want you to do that. But we're to be attentive to that still, small voice. So we listen to it so closely that when he says it, Lord, I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to trust you here. I'm going to go in this direction, even though it may not seem that it is the best direction from the natural standpoint. But Lord, I believe and I trust in you. Lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He's telling us to do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land. Alright? Lean not to your own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Alright? Continue reading. Let's go back to the 37th chapter of Psalm.
Delight thyself
also in the Lord.
And he shall give thee
the desires of thy heart. So he's given us some instruction here. So we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. What does that mean? Delight in the Lord. Delight, great pleasure, gratification, joyful satisfaction. That which affords extreme enjoyment, to take great pleasure, rejoice with, or rejoice in, to give great enjoyment, to please or gratify highly. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Do you know, have the Lord ever done something for you and you were just so elated? How, and man, you want to serve the Lord even more. Do you know He does that for us all the time? You know the fact that you got up this morning and you're in fairly good health. Whatever your situation, whatever your ailments are, do you know that that's something to rejoice in, because there's somebody that is not as well off as you are. And so we can delight in the Lord. Lord, I thank you that I was born in America. I believe it's the greatest country in the world. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the food that you've given me. I thank you, dear Lord, for the body, the family, whatever it is that you can be thankful for. It says here, delight in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Lord, I want to make you happy. I want you to be pleased with my life. I want the things that I do, the things that I say, how I live my life, I want you to delight in me, and I want to delight in you. When we endeavor to delight in the Lord delights in us. The Lord finds enjoyment in us. When we begin to read the Scriptures and we begin to understand what the Scriptures are saying, and we have a clear knowledge and understanding, and we spend time with the Lord, and it just seems like the Lord just, something bubbles up inside. Have you had those kinds of experiences? And Lord, we delight in the Lord, and you know what? While we're delighting in Him, He's delighting in us. And you know, when you make somebody happy, they're more likely to give you what you want.
Yes.
That's how it works, isn't it? It's not always that we're asking and asking and asking of the Lord, but the Lord is saying, asking us something here. He says, I want you to delight in me. Will you do that?
Amen,
delight thyself also in the Lord,
and He shall
give thee the desires of thine heart. How do I get anything that I want?
Amen.
Is it by asking and asking and asking? No, it is by delighting myself in the Lord. And what happens is, as I spend time with God alone, as I say, Lord, I want, what do we do? How do we make this more, bring it down home? When a young man finds a young woman that he is interested in, and she is interested in him, what do? They want to spend more time with each other, to get to know each other, right? And if they spend more time, they delight one in another. They learn that what one likes and what one doesn't like, and all of the things that they go through, and they delight to be around each other, don't they? Alright? Well, in the same way, when we desire to know the Lord and we want to be around Him, what happens is we spend time with Him and He spends time with us. The Lord is never too busy. You'll never call Him up and He says, I can't make this appointment today with you because I'm worried with the other folks in the congregation. The Lord loves us all the same, doesn't He? Delight in the Lord. And so the way for us to get the desires of our heart is to delight in Him. To take great pleasure and gratification in the Lord. Joyful satisfaction. Lord, I'm satisfied in You. And you know what that means? That means that you're not forced to be in the presence of the Lord. That your devotion is not a weariness. Lord, I want to fall in love with You again. I want You to refresh and renew me. It means it's not a drudgery to come to church because you know God's going to be there.
Amen.
You know, just like a young man that likes a young girl, a lady, if he knows that she's going to be someplace, maybe he hasn't gotten to see her for a while, and he knows she's going to be someplace, you'll find out that he'll show up there too. The Lord's going to be in service.
Yes.
He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, He'd be in the midst. Then we need to be there too.
Amen.
All right. All right. So, I want to read another scripture. Let's go to Revelation 4, verse 11. Someone get us Mark 1, verse 11.
4:11.
Yes.
Thou art worthy, O Lord. To receive glory.
You're worthy to receive glory.
And honor and power. For thou hast created all things.
Lord, you've created all things.
And for thy pleasure.
They are.
And were created.
So what does that mean to you? It means that God created you for His pleasure.
Amen.
Not just one-sided pleasure, but even if it was that way, then it would still be okay because He's God. He can do anything He wants to do. And He's a loving God and He loves every one of us. But we were created in all things that are created. When you look at the trees and you see the flowers, don't you get pleasure out of that? Well, I believe when you plant a garden in your, maybe your lawn, and it's you've manicured and you planted all the flowers and whatnot, and you can just sit out on the porch and look at all the beauty that God has created, but you had something to do with how it was arranged, right? And you delight in that. You take pleasure in that because it's growing like it's supposed to grow. And it's causing beauty. It's causing you to see the beauty of it. Well, in the same way, the things that God has created and put in order the way that He's created, which you and I, He created us for His pleasure. And when we do the things that God desires and designs us to do, He gets pleasure out of our lives. What did He say in Mark 1 and 11, it says, read that. Let's just read it.
Mark 1:11.
Yes.
And there came a voice from heaven.
There came a voice from heaven. This is after Jesus had been baptized. There came a voice from heaven that said,
"Thou art my
beloved
Son,
in whom I am well pleased." The Lord is pleased with Jesus Christ. He was pleased with Christ. So He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Can the Lord say that about you and me? Help me, Lord. Delight in the Lord. If I'm delighting in the Lord, if I'm giving space and time to the Lord, then He can say that about us. If I'm not, then there are going to be some things that He's a little disappointed in us because we're living in disobedience. Lord, help us. All right? Delight in the Lord. Let's go back to Psalms 37, 5th verse.
Commit thy way unto the Lord.
Commit thy way unto the Lord.
Trust also in Him.
Okay, so it says here, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him,
and
He shall bring it to pass. What is it that you're needing?
Yes, Lord.
All right, commit thy way.
Amen.
To place in trust our custody, your way. Lord, I'm giving you my way. I believe that in my own estimations, Scripture says every man's ways are right in his own eyes. The way that I think things should be, in my mind, they're the best way. In your mind, the way you think things should be, that's the best way to do it, in your mind. Now, what God is asking us to do here in this Scripture is, Lord, but I commit my way to You. I'm going to trust You that if You see fit to do it another way, I'm going to trust You to do it that way. And I'm going to trust that everything is going to be fine when You do it that way. I'm going to consign my way. It's still mine. But I'm going to consign it to You, Lord. I'm going to give it to You. And You do with it whatever You want to do. And He'll bring it to pass. Some of the things that we want done from the Lord, and we can seek the Lord about things, and we can ask Him whatever we want. He said, ask what you will. I'll do it for you. All right, when we ask the Lord, but we have a certain way that we want God to do it, don't we? So sometimes we prayed and we believe that God is going to do a particular thing for us, and we're seeking Him to that end, and we believe to that end, but we want it done this way. It says we can't do that. It says commit your way to the Lord. Commit the way that is done to the Lord. Sometimes we want a loved one saved, don't we? There's nothing wrong with that. And we just think that they ought to go down to an altar of prayer and pray a little bit and get right with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, is it? That's the easy way. But you know that that's not the way that a lot of folks do it. Sometimes they've got to hit some really rough spots in their lives before they'll acknowledge that I need God. So God takes them out a whole nother way, a roundabout way, but He's still doing it. He's still answering your requests, but you just think it's taking too long and He's doing it the wrong way. Commit that to the Lord. And He'll bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. All right, here's another point. We're to rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him.
You see how it's reiterating some of the things. Rest in the Lord. It reiterates trust. It reiterates rest and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth evil, wicked devices to pass. We tend to do this, but if we're doing that, we're not resting in the Lord. We're not in a position of rest. What does it mean to rest? To cease working. Stop trying to work it out yourself. You know, God rested on the seventh day, didn't He? Rest in the Lord. Cease from working, exerting oneself so as to refresh oneself. To cease from effort or activity for a time. To seek or obtain ease or refreshment by lying down, sleeping. To be at peace. To be tranquil. That's what rest means. So it says rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Amen. I think that we have to be taught to rest. Remember when we were children, and remember when our children were, those of us that, remember when children are young, let's just say it that way. Do you suppose that they would take naps if you did not demand it of them? The average child doesn't do it. Maybe there may be some that are exceptions to the rules. But what happens when a child begins to get fretful, is what we call it, and they start to be irritated or complaining, or they're jumping and bouncing off the walls, what do? Go lay down. We tell them to go lay down and close the door. I don't want you playing with nothing. Don't put no toys on the bed. Lay down and don't move. We have to demand and we have to teach them how to rest. What do we do with a little child that is fretful? We put him on our shoulder and we walk around in the middle of the night and we calm him down. We teach them to be calm. So we teach them that we rock them, we put them in a swing, we put them in the car seat, drive them around the block. That's what we had to do with our children sometimes. Drive them around the block in some kind of way, that motion, put them to sleep. The Lord has to teach us how to rest. Because we don't know, we're just like children. We think, I've got to take care of this, and I'm going to miss something if I do this. But the Lord's saying, you really cannot live to the fullest extent that you need to live if you're not resting. If you do not rest tonight, if you didn't get a good night's rest today, last night, you're going to be irritable today. You're going to have some problems in your life today. All right? So in the same way, spiritually, God wants us to rest. He doesn't want us to fret about all the problems and all the issues. We need to give it to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. It is not a suggestion, it's a demand. Rest. And if we do that, then we'll have the strength and the stamina that we need to go the extra mile. Lord, help me to be able to deal with what I've got to deal with today. I don't know what I'm going to face today. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. But right now, I need you to teach me how to drop everything, how to stop working so hard, how to just find a place in you that I can rest from all the problems, from all the evildoers, from all the folks that are talking about this and that, from all the folks that are talking about me. Lord, I want to find a place of rest. And so the Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And what will He do? He said, I'll give you rest. But we're going to have to trust the Lord. Lord, I need you to do that for me.
Yes, Lord.
But what we tend to do is we tend to try to get to a point where if I get to this point, I'm going to rest. But do you know that there are times that Jesus said, I want you to go away and I want you to just get by yourself. Do you know all of us need vacations from time to time?
Yes.
Do you know we don't need to get away from the hubbub and the hustle and bustle of our lives, and we need to just go aside and find a little leisure time if it's only one day of rest? Turn the phone ringer off and don't answer your cell phone and say, listen, I'm on vacation even though I'm in the middle of my house. Don't come to my house. Don't knock on the door. I'm on vacation. Do you know that would be good for us to do sometimes?
Right.
Well, Brother Darrell, emergency, you ain't going to die. Call on the Lord. That's all I'm going to do. But Brother Darrell, you should be accessible to me. Well, you know what? If you kill me, I'm not going to be accessible anyway. What are you going to do then? So you might as well rest now. So give me a day off. Don't call me. I'm saying you do it too. And when I call you, don't answer the phone. You're resting. But there is a rest that goes beyond just the physical rest. There is a rest unto the people of God. A rest where I cease from doing all of my labors. Where I cease from doing sin. I'm not working iniquity anymore. I'm
working transgressions anymore. I'm not working sins anymore. I've rested from all of that. Lord, you've stopped me from that. I've ceased from doing it. I'm resting in you. I've given my all to you. And let me tell you, there is a rest for the people of God. Let's turn to that. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Let's start reading at the 9th verse. I want to bring that point out here. I believe there are some very good points that the Lord wants us to get a hold of here.
Hebrews 4:9.
Yes.
There remain.
Now that rest is not just a temporary rest. The folks that are doing evil, what they're doing is just temporary. They're going to do it temporarily. But our rest in the Lord is not just on this side of eternity, not just in this world, but it's on the other side of eternity, and it's in the world to come. The rest remains. That I have the peace of God in my heart when people are talking about me, reviling me, and all the other things, when the bills don't seem to be able to make ends meet, and I can trust in the Lord, and Lord, you said you were going to take care of me. I'm going to believe you to that end. That rest remains. We're not to be anxious about this, but God has to teach us how to rest. It is not a suggestion. It is not something you can do if you want to, but if you don't want to, then you don't have to do it. It's not that. You rest in the Lord. This is what He's telling us to do. Rest. All right? There remaineth the rest for the people of God.
For he that has entered into his rest.
He that has entered into his rest.
He also has ceased from his own works.
He has ceased from his own works. What's my own works? Doing what I want to do. You know, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I decided that I don't belong to myself anymore. You decided that you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. So you entered into His rest. Not just your own, but His rest. Read.
Let us labor therefore.
Let us exert ourselves. Let us put forth an effort. Let us be zealous.
To enter into that rest.
And strive diligently to enter that rest of God. To know and experience it for ourselves. That no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disbelief that they fell in the wilderness. They just stopped believing God. They started believing themselves. They looked and they thought, you know, the Lord said in one way for the children of Israel, He said, He took them the way of the wilderness. It was a quicker way. But He took them this way. And why did He take them that way through the wilderness? To prove them. That's what He said. To prove them, to see what was in their heart, whether or not they would follow His commandments or not. So God takes us in a roundabout way to see if we really have committed our way unto the Lord. Well, Lord, I'm going to the land of Canaan, but Lord, I didn't want to go this way. Lord, there's a quicker way. Maybe you don't understand. If you go that way, that's a shortcut, Lord. If you go that way, you'll get there a lot sooner. But the Lord says, did you commit your way to me? You commit your way to me, then if you committed your way to me, then I want to go the long way around. Because there's something in it. By the time you get there, there's something in you that I'm going to bring out and I'm going to work with because you need it out of there before you can go and meet the giants. You need it out of you. And the only way to get it out of you is for me to take you the long way so that you can see what you got. I already know what you got. What the Lord says. But you can see what you got. I want you to see it. And so He takes us through the wilderness and He prepares us. And God forbid that we be there 40 years.
Yes.
3 or 4 days maybe. Maybe a week. But not 40 years.
Yes.
Shouldn't take that long for the Lord to show us what we have on hand. And for us to be able to get rid of it. Lord help us. Alright, read.
For the Word of God is quick.
Word of God is quick.
And powerful.
And powerful.
And sharper than any.
Okay, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's good enough. All right. So, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, isn't that wonderful? You know why I believe it says this? Because God ceased from his own works. He's not asking you to do anything that he himself has not done. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
A person like, how do you like a boss? That maybe you're in a job that is gets really, really dirty, and your boss is up here with in a white, starched white shirt and real starched pants, and he's telling you, he's telling you what to do. Don't you have a temptation to roll your eyes up in it? I know what to do. You don't have to say anything. We say that under our breath. And you have less respect for that man than one that rolls up his sleeves and get down there with you and shows you how to do it.
Amen.
That man you can respect. And you can say, say, no, you don't have to. Well, listen, I want to make certain it's done right, so I'm going to get down on my hands and knees, roll up my sleeves. I want to get dirty with you. So I want you to understand that I understand what you're going through. That's the kind of boss that we can follow and we can respect, isn't it? And that's the kind of boss we've got. That's the kind of boss God is. He's rolled up his sleeves, and everywhere we've gotten dirty, so to speak, he's gotten down there and showed us how to do it. He's walked the way, he's gone the way before us. He's never told us that you're going to come behind me, I'm going to show you the way, and I'm going to point the way. He says, I'm going to go the way, and you're going to follow me. And so he's gone the way, and he's made the way, he's been the trailblazer. So we can follow him. We can trust that kind of a man. We can trust that kind of a God. All right? See, God sees from his labors. He wants us to cease from ours. All right. Okay, let's go a little further. Rest is fundamental. We don't do it, we die. Literally. All right. Let's go with, continue reading. Let's go back to, we're almost through here. Appreciate your patience in this lesson today. Psalm 37, let's read. Pick up where we stopped.
7 verse. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way.
Don't fret because of him who prospereth. You can look at somebody else and see what the Joneses are doing, and you can be upset because you don't have as much money as them. You don't know what the Joneses are going through. They may be, it may look like they got a bunch of money, but they may be worse off than you. It may look like everything is perfect in their lives. But their lives may be, behind closed doors, their lives may be worse than yours. And you're comparing yourself by them. You're comparing yourself by all the movie stars. I wish you had all this and that. You don't need all of this and that. Be content with what you got. Thank the Lord for what you got. And once you thank the Lord for what you got, the Lord will give you a little bit more. But too often we're not even thankful for what the Lord has given us. We're complaining about what we don't have and not being thankful for what we do. To me, that's evil. There's something not right about that. All that God has done for us and we're still complaining. It's too hot, or it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry. Whatever it is, Lord, have mercy on us. All right?
Because of
the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Cease from anger. And forsake wrath.
Forsake wrath.
Fret not thyself in any wise.
Okay. So you may, huh? Cease from anger.
Amen.
So stop being mad.
Amen.
Have you ever seen somebody that was mad and wanted everybody to know they was mad? A little child sometimes stands in front of you. They want to let you know that they're dissing you. They make certain that you make eye contact and then turn their heads. Make certain you saw them turn their heads. You know, some of us about as immature as children. We want you to see that I'm upset and I'm not speaking to you because you did this to me, and I'm crossing my arms and turning kind of this way because of what you did. Well, maybe it's legitimate what they did was wrong. I'm acknowledging that. But what is it talking about all these evil people? It's just temporary. So he said, you stop being mad about it. Now, is that a suggestion or is that something that God expects us to do? You stop being mad about it. You know what? And I've learned in my lifetime that I have two choices. When the thought is that I can be angry, and I have some points that I feel like we can legitimately be upset about. Scripture says, be angry and sin not. So there is a place for anger within reason. Alright? But at some point you're upset and you're holding a grudge against somebody. You ain't spoke to your sister in 6 months because of what she said and what she did about your shoes or whatever. You haven't spoken to them in 6 months, or they said something, or they didn't come to your party, or whatever it was. You're upset at them. It says, stop being mad. You know what? You've got a choice. And I've learned in my own experience that I have a choice to either be upset or not to be upset. You know what your sister is doing? She's going on about her business. She don't care that you don't call her no more. It's a reprieve. She's resting in the Lord. Well, suddenly they call me. They don't know I don't care. All right? So stop being upset. I have a choice. You have a choice To hold this grudge for the rest of your life and let it corrode and eat and fret about it and have all these problems, you can say, you know what? I don't have to be mad if I don't want to be mad. I've learned that I don't have to be mad if I don't want to be mad. And I can turn it off. And when the devil brings it back to my mind, maybe it's something legitimate that somebody did to me. Let me tell you, folks do legitimate things that you have a legitimate right to be angry at. But you don't have a right for it to go on and on and on and on and on and on, dot, dot, dot. At some point, you've got to be the man or the woman and stand up and say, look, this has to stop. Let them do what they want to do. Maybe we won't be bosom buddies, but I won't be upset at you. Cease from anger. Stop it. What does it mean to cease? It means to leave off or discontinue. To come to an end, to stop, desist, to terminate, stop being mad, because the only person that is affecting, the person that is affecting most is you. You know, some folks are glad to know that what they did made you upset. That's the whole reason they did it. So don't give them the... What? Satisfaction, that's the word. Don't give them the satisfaction of knowing that you're angry at what they did.
Amen.
It don't bother you. Let it roll off of you like water off a duck's back. And you know the only way to do that is the grace of God.
Amen.
You're not going to be able to do it by yourself because the devil is going to keep bringing it to your mind. You know that scripture that speaks about if your brother offends you seven times, how many times are you supposed to forgive your brother? Seven times in a day? No, seven times 70 in a day. You're supposed to forgive them if they trespass against you. And that means that, yes, the first time I was pretty upset about it. And the second time, and probably the seventh or eighth time, and then I thought, wait a minute. Well, something's wrong here. I either need to get some grace over my brother, or I need to get out of his way. One of the two. And so I learned that the grace of God is sufficient for me to forgive my brother. And even when it comes to my mind over and over and over and over again, and the devil paints this beautiful, big, horrific picture on the screens of my imagination, and I keep reliving that offense over and over and over in my mind, I just keep reliving it, then I have a right to turn the power off, don't I? The projection screen, I can just push stop. Cease, that little button there. What do we got a button here that says cease from being angry. Just like you turn off a computer or a cell phone or whatever. Flick off the light. I don't have to do this anymore. You don't, do you? And you know what? When the devil brings it to your mind, you go to somewhere and you pray. And you ask the Lord. Now, if we do this, we stop praying. We trust the Lord. We delight in the Lord. We commit our way to the Lord. We rest in Him. And we stop being mad. Our lives is going to take an immediate turn for the better. And it's not, these are not suggestions. These are the commands of God. It's not whether or not we can do them if we want to. And it's probably best if you do. But if you don't, it's okay. That's not what this is talking about. This means that these are commands of the Lord. This could be the 6 commandments. All right? May the Lord help us. This lesson today is for every one of us. It's for me. And I believe that if we get a hold of it, and I'd like for you to go home and study these. This lesson today, study what the Scripture is talking about. And I want you to particularly say, Lord, teach me how to rest in You. Teach me how to stop fretting. Teach me how to commit my way. All of these things, I believe if we ask the Lord to teach us how to do it, the Lord will do that. And I want us to stop being so concerned about what everybody else is doing. They're doing wrong and they're doing this. We all know that they're doing wrong, but that's beside the point. The point is, I can't do wrong. I've got to trust in the Lord and do good. No matter what they're doing, that's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. And the Lord will see us through. Pray for me.